You are welcome to Living Faith Church, Winners Chapel State Headquarters, Calabar, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. How many are set to hear from Jesus? How many are set to hear from Jesus? No one shall return disappointed. Amen. These few sessions will turn things around in everyone's ministry.
Amen.
In everyone's family.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I was in a conference and one thing I heard, one, follow me and I will make you. That was back in 1990. I was also a speaker in that conference. But it turned out into my spirit. Your making is in following me. Follow me. I'll make you. Where you stop following is where your making stops. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. There's always one word that turns things around. May the one word needed to move each of us to our next level come down in this conference. In the name of Jesus. I was in a conference back in 1970 and all I left with, all I had, God is not slow. It was a baptism of patience for me. And faith without patience will always lead to a crack. God is not slow. Whatever time he shows up is the right time. Praise God. One word will hit you from here. And we settle you for life. One word will hit you from here. He said the Lord sent a word into Jacob and has lighted upon Israel. One word from the Lord changing someone's world. And that's who God is talking about. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Whatever charges we've had from these anointed men that came up here is your doing. It's only what you show we can see. What you don't reveal we cannot receive. So we return all the glory to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing every ministry here. Thank you for great changes in our lives. Receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. And please, you may be seated. The theme of this conference is running with the vision. It's a thing to learn because it's a lifelong journey. Vision is a lifelong journey. So we need to know how to see visions realized. We need to know how to run with vision to the point of realization, because it is a lifelong journey. Let me say this at the onset. Abraham had an encounter with God at 75. Genesis 12 and 1 to 4. And you find God appearing to him again and again and again until 114 years when he was asked to take Isaac out for a burnt offering. Isaac was 14 years old. He was born Abraham when Abraham was 100. It's a lifelong journey. We better learn how to work with visions and revelations. Moses had his encounter at 80. And again, the Lord said to Moses, until he was 120. Lifelong journey. So vision is not a once and for all phenomenon. It's a lifelong adventure. I want that to be behind our mind. But there is heavenly vision. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, which connotes there are earthly visions. Acts 26 and verse 19. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We saw that vision came down from heaven in Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Heavenly vision is real. And that connotes that earthly vision is also real. But whatever is from above is above all. There is no comparing anyone working with heavenly vision with someone else working with earthly vision. We saw another heavenly vision with Peter in the house of Simon the Tanner when a casket came down from heaven with many four-footed animals, kill and eat. No, I don't eat all things. What I've cleansed, don't call unholy. And then, three men are waiting for you down there. Go with them, don't ask any questions. Heavenly visions are real. Many of us sitting down here today are raw beneficiaries of heavenly visions. It must not be a once and for all issue. It must become a lifestyle. Working in visions and revelations. By His grace, I'm 45 years young in ministry. And I've seen rest. I've seen peace. I've known no stress. And the Lord told me what began my host ministers conference many years ago. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I'm not showing you these things. I'm passing you through these things for nothing. I want you to help other brethren to also know how to connect with me. Praise God. You will not know stress anymore.
Amen.
You won't swim against the tide anymore.
Amen.
You won't play down on heavenly vision anymore.
Amen.
You won't go your own way anymore.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Heavenly vision is real, which connotes we also have earthly visions. Earthly vision is all about what one thinks he can do or what needs he thinks he can meet or something he enjoys doing. And we have all kinds of things. They may not be well intentioned, but if they are not in line with divine plan, they never work. If they are not in line with divine plan, they never work. For you see that says that they come to pass when the Lord commanded it not. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, very balanced, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Lamentation 3 and verse 37. Maybe we can start this way. I call this running charges. Charges that run through the series. Amen. What are the proofs of heavenly visions? Every heavenly vision secures divine presence. That is the greatest asset in ministry. Every heavenly vision enjoys divine presence, which steers God's confidence, putting one in command of the supernatural. So you hear me say time and again, except God has not sent me. It secures divine presence. You enjoy divine presence, which steers a God confidence in you. Paul was speaking, saying, we are circumcision and worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. God confidence. I can do all things that God tells me to do through Christ. We make it happen. God confidence. Well, I don't know what to choose, whether to go or to stay. Well, to go is more positive for me, but to stay is better for you. So I have this confidence that I will abide. I will stay here. You can't kill me. Raw confidence. Because by reason of divine presence. Philippians 1:25-27. Now when he sent them, you know what he said? He sent them two by two before his face to every place where himself will come. Okay, boys, come on. I'm sending you to go that way. You see me soon. Where himself will come. So they came back, say, hey, my master, even those who are told, say, I was there. I saw Satan fall like lightning. A melody to him fall. He saw me and was falling. I was there. So when you are on key with divine plan, forces that torment others fall at your instance. You are not struggling with them. No skill, no effort, no anointing, sir, can be a substitute for divine presence. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and His power, who went about doing good, and healing them were oppressed of the devil, because God was with them. The ultimate source of power, God was with them. You are going to live here with that consciousness in your pursuit. It puts one naturally in command of the supernatural. Naturally in command of the supernatural. We had to pay the little stipends we pay in those days in our office. And I called the accounts man. I said, pay everyone today at 2:30. And you mustn't say there is no money. It was, the day it comes from your mouth, you are leaving this place. There is money. You may not see it, but there's money. At 1:30, somebody meandered from somewhere and brought a seed that was more than enough to pay. Sir, I can't remember asking his name. I can't remember how he looks like now. But by 2:30, so after he left this, the accountant came to office. Sir, there's money. I said, there has been money before. No call was made to anybody, sir. Number two, can I say, of heavenly visions. Because when the Bible says, examine yourself, which means there are parameters. You should be able to know. whether you are on key or off key. Second parameter is joy unspeakable. Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound. Every divine agenda is transmitted through a channel of joyful sound. Psalm 89 verse 15. Joyful sound. And now that we have his presence, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So walking in the center of God's plan, there is this joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's beyond the joy of salvation. It's the joy of commission. Somebody asked me years ago, Brother David, do you ever have a problem? I said, maybe he came, I didn't know. His presence exhumes joy. When you are on course with his agenda, among the things is joy unspeakable, full of glory. All of my precious sons and daughters in ministry who are here know that you can't call me without laughing, no matter the condition. Amen. When you tell all that you call your trouble and say there is no trouble there, you are troubling yourself. Amen. Now, I've been laughing like this all my life. I laugh at the devil, I laugh at his agents, I laugh at everybody. And I laugh with Jesus. The 70 return with joy. They return with joy. So from today, sir, the pressure will be far from your tabernacle. My son from Abuja said, I didn't say go, I didn't say don't go. I said, go at your pace. You won't lose your peace. You are going places. You are going places. At that time, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I know, the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to go. So he has a mission. And in Luke 10:21, he rejoiced in spirit. Not, cosmetic joy. Joy from within. He rejoiced in spirit. One time I lost a box packed with a journey. And so the box got lost by one mystery. Because I saw the box being put in the car from the airport. I would go to my car, couldn't find the box. So my wife said, why can't I list the items? And I said, no, the new owner should have the stock. I said, you know something? God knew I have some other clothes at home. So he transferred that one to another person. Life. Then you got my box. What? Does it have number? Amen. Can I tell you something? I never pray about it. And I forgot everything inside it on the spot. But somebody else now owns it. Amen. Now, I went on a trip outside the country. I came back and they stole my car. So, somebody was telling me at the back of the car that the car was stolen. I said, I hope nobody's hurt. He said, nobody's. Praise God. The one in front, he didn't know anything I've been told. So, he was trying to tell me gradually. I said, I already heard. I got to David. I said, how much do I have in my account? He said, so much. I gave him the money. Go and buy a car of this amount. Plus tire, plus insurance. They say, what kind? I say, any kind. So my sister-in-law said, he saw the car around the house. I said, collect it. Say, that's my brother's car. Collect it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Get smarter than your issues. Get smarter than your issues. Praise God. Number three, proof of being the center of God's plan is peace like a river. What do I call it? Now, Isaiah 48 and verse 17 to 21. Isaiah 48, 17 to 21. The Bible says, I'm the Lord your God that teacheth thee to profit and lead thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Who that you have hearkened unto me, thy peace will have been like a river. When you walk in the center of his plan, the peace of God just keeps flowing naturally. Whether you are fighting or you are angry, river doesn't know. It's just flowing. River has no idea whether you are fighting, you are doing anything. It doesn't know. You are angry, it doesn't know. You are happy, it doesn't know. It's just flowing. River is flowing. That's the river of peace. And can I tell you what? When that happens, you have created a platform for God to fight your battle. He said, the Lord shall fight for you. And you shall what? Hold your peace. Being in the center of God's plan unleashes the peace of God like a river. I want to hear what the Lord will say to me. He said, the Lord will speak peace unto his people. Psalm 85 and verse 8. The Lord will speak peace unto his people. Every divine agenda is accompanied with peace. All our ways are ways of pleasantness, and all our paths are peace. All our paths are peace. Don't heat up your system. Settle in with God's plan. You enjoy peace like a river, ever flowing under all circumstances. Ever flowing. Number four proof is supernatural supplies. When I sent you, Luke 22 verse 35, without purse or scripts or shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, what? Nothing. Every divine agenda is entitled to divine supplies when pursued in line with scriptures. Every divine agenda is entitled to divine supplies when pursued in line with scriptures. When you are faithful with little, you commit him to put much into your hand. And you are committed, you are faithful with much, he puts much more. And you are faithful with much more, he puts much more, more, and then continues. It's your faithfulness with what he gives now that determines what he gives next. And I made that according to scriptures. You operate, you pursue his agenda according to the rules of scriptures. And primary of this rule is faithfulness. If you have not been faithful in your righteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Faithfulness at where you are is what determines where next it takes you. So, men and brethren, caution with his resources. He's watching. Caution with his resources. Caution. There must be a clear demarcation between your own personal blessings and the resources of the ministry. There must be very clear distinction. Very clear distinction. Supplies grow with faithfulness. Supplies grow with faithfulness. Interestingly, heavenly vision has nothing to do with the ongoings, either with the economy, political upheaval, or any unrest in any form. Nothing. Every heavenly vision is an election of grace, so that no one should glory in himself. We are not called because we are experts. We are called because we are non-entities. He says, see your calling. How not many mighty men are called? Not many wise are called. God has chosen things that are nothing to confound the things that are. We need to accept our nothingness to make the most of the ministry. Some of us may have heard me say before, everything good here, oh, God did. Everything bad, I'm responsible. Everything good here, he did. Because I don't have capacity to do anything marvelous. This is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous. So everything marvelous in your ministry, Jesus did. Can I hear your amen? Everything. We need to get to that point for more and more things to keep happening. That everything that people marvel at today in your life and ministry, God is the one behind it. And it's not done with you yet. Greater things are coming. Greater things are coming. Greater days are ahead. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So when any heavenly vision is pursued according to the rules of scriptures, it will always stand out. It will always stand out. It will always stand out. Don't forget I said, pursued according to the rules of scriptures. Vision thrives on revelations according to the rules of scriptures. For instance, Christ said, I must walk. So anointing is not an excuse for idleness. I must walk. The work of the assembly when it is day, the night coming when no man can walk. John 9:4. Now, John 5:17, my father walketh hitherto and I walk. When ministry is pursued according to the rules of scriptures, it always stands out. Always stands out. For instance, honor in ministry is a function of dedication. True dedication. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, that abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. If any man serve me, let him follow this principle. That where I am, that my son will be also. If any man serve me like that, him will my father honor. So our honor in ministry is a function of our genuine dedication to God and the interest of his kingdom. Genuine. Genuine dedication to God. These are the rules of scriptures. So a vision will never see the light of day by just being heavenly. No. They are scripturally driven. They are covenantly driven. They are covenantly driven. This is a family meeting, so when it's time, we close. It's not that, amen. Otherwise, what I'm doing is preamble. Praise God. Amen. They are covenantly driven, sir. Now, October 3, 1984, we were trusting God for 3,000 naira to pay off the rent of our church facility in Kaduna. And I said to those 5-6 brethren who are constituted the leaders of the church, I said, you see, now that we're all at the same level, understand what I'm saying. If I have this money, God won't appeal to me to give it to. But now that we are all at the same level, because we are all at the same level, I said, because the time is coming when some of us will take off in the air and you start saying, and more money, we don't even know what they're using. I said, let me tell you what I'm using. I'm sold out to God. You can't be dedicated and not know, sir. Nobody to bear you witness. You should know by yourself. So I knew in 1984 that I'm going somewhere through the mystery of dedication, genuine dedication to God. I knew. A time is coming, someone wants to take off in the air and start saying, what are they doing? Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm sold out to God. Brethren, you can't be sold out to God and not stand out in life. You can't be sold out to God and not stand out in life. Remember the parable of the mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds. But when it is sown, it grows up and throws out great branches, and the birds of the air come in to make their nest on it. When it is sown, not on its own. When it is sown, when the tiniest believer is genuinely dedicated, he grows up. He throws out great branches. The birds of the air come over to make their nest on it. So it's according to the rules of scriptures. We can only run with visions triumphantly according to the rules of scriptures. According to the rules of scriptures. Guess work hardly works. Don't engage guess work in ministry. It hardly works. It hardly works. Laban said, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me. Experience is a highly profitable virtue. You can't find it to buy in the market. You can only learn from experience. You can only learn from experience. There are things we get into that seem to overthrow the things we have done before because we are not commanded to do it. We just added it to it. There is more than enough in what you are told to do, sir. There is more than enough if you give it all that you got. There's no ordinary calling. Every calling in the kingdom is a high calling. Every calling in the kingdom is a high calling. Every calling in the kingdom is a high calling. There is no medium calling. There is no low calling. Genesis 30 and verse 27, I've learned by experience that God has blessed me for your sake. By experience. I don't want to go. Your presence here is adding value. By experience, I've learned. God once told Peter, Satan desires to have you. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I pray for you that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, and thy brethren. Luke 22, 31 and 32. When you triumph over those issues, help others to see it, so they can also triumph accordingly. Now listen to this. I knew we had a vision to have a university. That's great. After they handed over the certificate, I said, God, now, if it is not your university, tell me. I will tear the certificate now. I'm not going to school again. I heard him say to me in that room, it is I. And he showed up. On the day we're dedicating this campus, he said to me at the gate, hand it over to me now, life. And I lay down flat as he commanded me. There has never been any prayer point on Covenant University in the church for 24 years. And now let's pray. This university must stand. It must not collapse. Clean order. No guesswork. Clean. Clean order. Sir, you better get it right. I want to be free from pressures. It's not part of your package. There are many things he will tell you greater than what you wanted to do. Just wait on him to tell you what next to do. And do just that. And when it's another time, it comes up. I'll be sharing with you in the course of this teaching how that vision is in form of a book made up of chapters. Don't open the chapter. Let him be the one to open the chapter. Don't open the chapter. Let him be the one to open the chapters. He said the vision of all is like a book. Isaiah 29, 11 and 12. Which is sealed. So he opens it. Praise God. Chapter after chapter as at when due. When am I due? When he says you are due. That's when you are due. When he says you are due. That's when you are due. And he opens those chapters when he has counted you faithful. In chapter 1, he opens chapter 2. He counts you faithful in chapter 2, he opens chapter 3. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ of my Lord who has counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. So your next phase will be a function of being counted faithful in the present phase. So you are counted faithful in phase 1, you move to phase 2. He moves you to phase 2. Not that I'm going there. He moves you to phase 2. You are faithful in phase 2, he moves to phase 3. He said, we serve an orderly God, belong to an orderly kingdom. When is the one who moves you, nobody can remove you. When God moves to another phase, no devil can remove you. When God moves to another phase, these are all nitty-gritties of following heavenly vision. We are here not to talk about what to think you want to do. We are talking about finding out what God has for you to do. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is so important. It's about glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that hope means underachieved. So people go through things to learn certain things. And they share it with others. They can avoid the stress that they may have if they have some. And walk free. Romans 5, 3 to 5. Before you leave this mountain, there shall be clarity on what is asking you to do and how to do what you are doing better. There shall be clarity from heaven. So set yourself for it. We are called to follow those who are following Christ, so we can reproduce their order of impact. We are not copying them. We are following the principles that made them. What they found in the world that they followed that resulted in their impact. So we can follow the same principles of the kingdom to get there. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Philippians 3:17, be ye followers altogether of me. Now, let me stop here to say this. The man speaking said, neither am I perfect. People are looking for perfect individuals. Neither am I perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting those that are behind, these are for the things that are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there is the pressing that all of us are involved in, everybody, including those who call your mentors. Everybody's pressing, or you drop off the mark. Everybody is pressing. But I said, look, I've pressed to some point. If you follow, you get to that point. But I'm still pressing, so you are just getting ready. fasten your seatbelt. Praise God. I'm still pressing. That's what Paul was saying. So stop looking for perfect vessels. Look for those who have accomplished what you are pressing into. Find out what they did to get there. And commit yourself to the same principles. In Hebrews chapter 13, number 7, he said, obey them that have ruled over you, who have taught you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, considering the proofs they have. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Paul says something very interesting here in 1 Corinthians 4:17. He said, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into the remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach in every church, as I teach everywhere in every church, my ways, which be in Christ, my ways, which be in Christ, my ways, which be in Christ. Any leader that does not have proof of what he says is not worthy to be followed. We are in for the best of time. In the name of Jesus. This conference will spark a new dawn in everyone's life and ministry. Amen. You'll be surprised at yourself as you connect with his word. That's coming down to us in the name of Jesus. 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 So we go for the few minutes we have more. Running with the vision. We are in the last days. Acts 2:14-17 says so. And it's referencing from Joel 2:28-30. We're in the last days. And among the core characteristics of the last days is that your young men shall see visions. So we are in the days of visions. We are in the last days. The days of heavenly visions. So we're in the days of visionaries. We have had enough of missionaries. God is now raising visionaries, the kind the world has never seen before. Joel chapter 2 verse 1, a day of darkness and gloominess is here. But in the midst of it, a great people will rise. There's never been their kind, and there will not be any after them until the years of many generations. Now, verse 7 and 8, they shall walk everyone in his way and everyone in his path, and they shall not break their ranks. If they fall upon the sword in their way, they shall not be wounded. We are in the age of visionaries in the body of Christ. People walking in the center of heavenly plan. No guesswork. No permutation. No assumptions. Something happened before we got here. They first took me to a place, 50 acres of land, and that was a lot. And not far from the church, our old church in town, on the way to Lasso. I mean, far before you get to Lasso. As we got to the place, they went, they came, you know, they brought me to show me the place. I lost divine presence. Very good land, plain land, by the road. I said, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're in the last days. God is raising an army of visionaries, not guesswork. We lost money on that land because we already paid the deposit. And when we got to this place, that didn't look like the place at all forever. Lord, what are you saying? This is the place. And the peace of heaven came. I'm robbers on the street here the only day without mask. Open chest. You know, Canaan land, he said, we can't enter. Because giants are there. They keep him. He said, this is the place. We are in the days of visionaries. Please beware of copied visions. Beware of copied visions. Be inspired. Be motivated. But don't be a copycat. God has his unique plan for your life. Jesus walked by two clean things. He said, my Father, what I see my Father do, that same I do. He will yet show me greater things. So he operates by what the Father shows him, what he sees the Father does. Now, verse 30 of that John 5, he said, I can from myself do nothing as I hear. So he was saying, he was hearing. Now, in the precious name of Jesus, because this hearing ear and the seeing eye are of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, everyone's spiritual eyes and spiritual ears shall be open to see brighter.
Yeah.
And hear clearer.
Yeah.
From this mountain.
Yeah.
And Christ could say, I mean, he that sent me is with me. My Father has not left me alone because I do always the things that please him. He was saying what the Father was showing him. He was hearing what the Father is commanding him. So the Father was with him all the time. May everyone's eye become a seeing eye. Everyone's ear becomes a hearing ear. And in the name of Jesus, you won't miss your steps again. Thank you, Jesus. And he showed us an example that you walk in his steps. So take time to ensure that every step is as ordered from the Lord. Take time to ensure. In Jeremiah 23, verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet there are. I have not spoken, yet they prophesy. There are quite a number like that today. Just going whichever way you want to go and trying to make it work. Trying to make it work on their own. 45 years. I have not played games once. I have not had to withdraw any statement or any book or any tape. You can choose to be straight by just walking in the center of God's plan. Beware of calling yourself to what he has not called you into. You have to back yourself to do it. Remember, ministry is not a vocation. An election of grace. It's an election of grace. What it does not reveal, we cannot see. As I close, it is the backing of God that secures sustainable impact in ministry. The backing of God is what sustains. Is what is behind sustainable impact in ministry. Impact that is growing year in year out. It is the backing of God that makes it happen. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. Yes, I labor more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This shall be to each one of us a mountain of transformation.
Amen.
A mountain of transfiguration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus. Let's round up. Vision comes across through three main channels. One, through the voice of God. Every vision in scriptures comes along with a voice. And God said to Abraham, and God said to Noah, and God said to Moses, and God said, and God said, and God said. So access to the voice of God is a principal channel for accessing God's plan. Access to the voice of the Spirit. And every child of God has that access. I know my sheep and they know my voice. Number two access is through Rhema. Rhema, the voice of God behind scriptures. Isaiah 34 verse 16, we understand that every statement of Jesus, every statement of scripture is the voice of God imprint. It says, seek out of the book of the law and read. None of this shall fail. Not shall anyone tell me. He said, my mouth it has spoken it, and my spirit has gathered them. So it is that voice that sounds from behind scriptures that we call Rhema. Praise God. Amen. The third channel is through the ministry of prophets. Have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions. Hosea chapter 12 verse 10. And use similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. I have spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions. And use similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. That is why they minister to us through their writings and anything. God's voice come through behind what they are saying. Though the Lord gives you the water of affliction, he will not remove your teacher from you. But your eyes will see your teachers and your ears will hear what behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. There's a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Let me share this experience with you before we close. 1995, I was in Ghana. And then I was reading Following God's Plan for Your Life. And God came through and said, why are you asking me for another land when you have not used the one I gave you? I wasn't praying for land. But I knew we were choking at Capernaum. And he said, pull down those bungalows. Raise an L-shaped structure, terminate with an office tower, you know, use closed circuit television, which we use then. Your midway services. So he designed it. I was reading the book Following God's Plan. There's nothing like building in it. Nothing. I've spoken by the prophet. I've multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophet. I read the book, I Believe in Visions, by Kenneth E. Hagin, 1977. I found myself in visions when I went to bed, visions of the Lord. Now, from that time on, God sits me down to tell me things. I have also spoken by the prophets. I've multiplied visions. I use similitudes by the ministry of the prophet. Now, the qualifying access, I was in the spirit. on the Lord's day and I heard. Revelation 1:10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard. It's time to walk in the spirit. He said, if we live in the spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us also walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. The reason why people are not hearing today is because we are not walking the spirit. We are full of calculations, permutations, feasibility studies, econometrics, calculus, so much. It's amazing, sir. Revelation 1:10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. The voice of God like a thunder. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. That's the platform for assessing heavenly vision. It can show up at any time. That's why we must endeavor to walk in the spirit. I was in the bedroom when he said, arise, get down to Lagos, raise me people. I was on the prayer altar. I was in the car, driving back home, hungry and tired. The harvest of Africa is now overripe, rushing and preserved from the cardinals. That's why we must endeavor to walk in the spirit. Sir, ministry cannot be done scientifically. It cannot be done technically. You are either spiritual or you are not there. I'm either spiritual or I'm not there. The good news is you are going places. From now, I see God speaking to you from his word. I see him appearing to you from time to time and showing you which way to go. In the name of Jesus, I close. We were in an induction program preparing to send people out to South America, to Central America, all that stuff, on missions, as instructed by him. First night, you know what he said? These are not the people I want to use. I mean, they are our missionaries. We called them from their video nations. With their family, with their little babies. I said, well, God just told me, you're not the people we want to use. Did they offend? No. Did they offend interview? No interview. And they were picked based on proofs. He said, did you ask him what he wants to do? I didn't ask him. It's his job. Amen. It's his job. Something more also help you. I've never prayed for salaries for staff in my life because they're not my staff. I'm a foreman. He's the contractor. Can you arrest the foreman that didn't pay you? He doesn't have your money. Praise God. Never. In case you are struggling, maybe you have overstaffed yourself. You better go and check it. I've never prayed one. Ask God when you meet him. I said humorously, if your salary is not, I'll just tell you, he has not sent your money. You can go. When he sends you available, we send for you. Easy. I can't carry his luggage. No. I'm happy you're looking at yourself now. All this, oh God, I bind anything holding this money back. Nothing's holding it back. Have employed who should not be employed. Eh? Your money needs a clerk. You have employed a chartered accountant. What you have needs a clerk or a counter. Someone you can count money. Nana said, no, we must have a chartered accountant. The accountant said, no, okay, I will take so amount. The amount it will take is more than the income you have. And I said, yes, we have a management. Management or what? You have AIDS management. Glory to God. Amen. If it is my domestic staff who cook for me, I'm responsible. Amen. But for your work, I'm also a worker. So my money bill you are going to pay. Not that I'm the one paying others. Praise God. Is somebody free tonight? I went to one of our churches. They said they pay money to those who drum. I said, money to drum? No, we drum for free. Where I'm coming. Lie. Off!
I will praise the Lord.
I will. Never in this ministry. Pay money to drum. Then what do you pay for? Who sweep? The people controlling traffic, what do you pay them? People in the car park, what do you pay them? Carry your drum, go, my friend. Amen. You know, I'm a local man, I don't have a problem. The man comes and says, do like this, and then you say, how much I pay? No. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think we have some time tonight. Can I release you? I'm not tired, though. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Please stand to your feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please lift up your two hands. If anything has gotten across to you from those powerful lessons we learned from those anointed men and the teaching I've just had, lift up your two hands and give God thanks. Give Jesus thanks. New dawn, new face of clarity, new face of position, new dawn, new face, in the name of Jesus. Now before I pray over us the eye-opening prayer and the ear-opening prayer, please join me welcome my wife to say hello. Amen. Please get seated. She knows how to say hello. It will be short and brief. Praise God. Trust her. My own hello is longer than that. Just to compliment. Praise the Lord. He opens my ear morning by morning, and he opens my ear to hear. The Lord has opened my ears, and I was not rebellious. So it's one thing to hear it, sir, and to rebel against it. Now, today, your ears will be open to hear clearer. Yeah. There shall be no trace of rebellion in you. Yeah. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Jesus served them the bread, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then again, then open their understanding that you understand the scriptures. So there's an eye-opening miracle in the hands of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, that is your portion tonight. Before this conference is over, you will see things. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 19, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. What God shows you is what makes men marvel at you. He will show you wondrous things. He will show you wondrous things. And in John 5 and verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, so I judge, and my judgment is true. I have to believe God for this as I pray over you today, that the Lord will open your spiritual ears to hear from heaven. Open your spiritual eyes to see the marvels he's showing you. In the name of Jesus. No more guesswork. Heavenly vision will start showing in your life. Every step shall be forward from henceforth. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your two hands and express to Jesus your desire for an ear-opening miracle, an eye-opening miracle after the order of Christ. No more guesswork. No more guesswork. No more guesswork. No more guesswork. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Please place your two fingers on your eyes. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree release of your spiritual eye-opening miracle. Begin to see wonders from the world. Begin to see wondrous visions. Now put your two fingers in your ears. I command your spiritual ears open. No more wasted labor. No more swimming against the tide. And it starts now. Between now and the end of this conference, you're in another world. It is settled. Lift up your two hands and give God thanks. Give Jesus thanks. Celebrate and magnify him. In Jesus' precious name. We'll be recognizing all of the great men and women of God who are here from tomorrow. Praise God. And together we are all at the feet of Jesus, learning to do better than all we ever knew. In Jesus' name. Welcome and welcome and welcome. God bless you.